Don't let someone steal your great idea. Register a domain name now and put your idea online. GoDaddy is offering one new or transfer.com for the low price of $2.95, whether you're building your dream business or starting a website for fun. Visit GoDaddy.com and enter WWC295 at checkout. It's go time. Some limitations apply. See website for details. Again, the code is WWC295. Get it? Because it's like watch what crappens, $2.95, because it's $2.95 for whatever you're going to buy. Well, it has to be a new .com or
transfer. Oh, I just got that. I'm
yeah,
glad you explained
isn't that so,
it.
So original. Why don't you just start a website about how original that deal is? So everyone, GoDaddy.com, WWC295, and you get a new or transfer.com for the low price of $2.95. Watch what crappens. Watch what crappens.
Hey everybody, welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast about all the crap we love to talk about on Bravo. I'm Ronnie Karam from Trash Talk TV, and I'm with Ben Mandelker, who's from bsideblog.com. Hello, Benjamin.
Oh, hi Ronnie. How's Texas?
Oh, it's just hot. Actually, it's getting better. Lots of fat white people. It's nice to feel thin and dark again. I feel Lebanese here. I feel very cultural.
Yeah.
I feel not thin, but not like the guy with the hunchback in the bell tower, whatever his name was. So that's nice.
It's always good for Quasimodo to come down from the tower.
Yeah. So I feel good about that. Welcome, everybody. You can find us on social media. Just search Ronnie Karam. You can find me anywhere, really. I had to find anything for Trash Talk TV, the recaps, etc. Real funny recaps going on right now at TrashTalkTV.com. You can also find us on Twitter at TrashTweetTV. You can find me on YouTube at TrashTalkTV.com/TrashTweetTV. TrashTalkTeeVee. And that's where we're doing Big Brother in 2 minutes videos. Tonight's the last one, so tomorrow's going to be a little late published because I'm in Texas, but it'll be a real fun video of the entire season in 2 minutes. You can also find Ben B-Side at B-Side Blog. You can find him there on Twitter. You can find him there on Instagram. You can find him there on Grindr. You can find him there on Duolingo if you want to know what languages he's learning. Come
That's
on,
right.
Find him.
That's right. Actually, on Duolingo, I'm Bendelker. I mean, I don't know if anyone cares. And on top of that, I haven't used it in several months. I have gone lax with my German learning, I'm sorry to say.
Oh, you were learning German? God, you're a Jew, dude. Do you just want to be able to say, no, please stop it next time, or what?
Kind sex.
That was hideous. Why am I starting with the Holocaust? It's because
starting,
I'm around
I was
my mother.
I was starting with her in a rapey place. I was saying, no sex.
German Scheisse videos.
Wow, we're just bursting out of the gate right here. Bursting out of the gate. And all in an Australian accent.
Yeah. So that's where you can find us on social media. We do have a subscription now. You can find that at Patreon. That's Patreon. Patreon. So patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. If you subscribe, there's a lot of different incentives to subscribe per episode. We're doing a bonus episode for the base level subscribers. So that starts today. We'll be doing our first bonus episode today. After this show, we'll be talking Big Brother and lots of gossip.
Yeah. And if you want to hear that episode, if you have already subscribed, you actually have to go to Patreon to hear it. We're going to upload it to Patreon. Hopefully it will be a smooth process. I have to say personally, I'm like very excited. We are already up to 83 patrons and we're already up to $172 per podcast episode, which is, I can't even believe it. It's only been a week since we announced it. And I am honestly like really floored.
I cannot believe it. And thank you everybody so much because that means we're actually professionals and we won't be cooking during the podcast or doing this in bed like we are today. I hope we didn't lead you to believe that the podcast actually becomes professional once we do, because I am in my bed in a guest room at my parents' house in my underwear, and Ben's cooking things for a dinner party.
Well, I actually nothing is cooking right now. The stove and the oven are off, but I am just in from the gym, and I'm just in a sweaty tank top, looking disgusting, not camera ready for sure. So thankfully, this is just an audio podcast.
Yeah, thankfully, we're not making enough money yet to be doing the promised camera podcasts.
Yeah, but right now you can donate $1 per episode, I think it's $1 per episode.
Yeah,
or
just go
or $2.
Yeah, it's like
or
one,
five.
Two, or five or something.
Yeah,
so four and you don't. The episodes will stay free, so there's just more on top if you subscribe. Okay,
exactly. Bonus content, and we may come up with some more perks too, more incentives for rewards for other donations. Yeah. But I honestly, I really have to say a huge thank you because it really means a lot. I think I'm going to assume for you too, Ronnie, that people donate because it does make me feel even more like we are sort of like doing the right thing, in the sense of like there are times I'm like looking at my bank account, looking where I am in life, and I'm like, should I really be devoting all this time to podcasting? Is this really what I should be doing? But to see that I can actually, you know, or we can actually earn some money off of it, you know, makes me makes me feel like, yes, we are doing the right thing.
Yeah, I went to the dentist today here in Texas because that's the only time I'm like forced to take care of myself. My dad's like, I made you a dentist appointment. Great. So she was telling me off because I never go and I need a crown and I don't want to get it. And I'm like, she said, what do you do? And I said, well, I do a podcast and I run a website that makes fun of TV shows. And like tonight I'm going to be making this Big Brother one where I do all the voices and stuff. And then we watch all the Real Housewives shows. And she said, well, that's actually kind of a little dream life, isn't it? And I was like, you know what, lady? What a lovely way to look at it. So yeah. I'm living off Chuck E. Cheese and, you know, water.
Yeah.
Still, it is a fun life. So, everybody, thank you, Drip.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for helping me disappoint my mother so fully because I actually get off on it. So, thank you all.
It goes a long way. We really, really do appreciate that. So, enough of us.
Enough of our crap. Like, that was 20 minutes of us blahing about blahness.
Ugh, we're so awful sometimes.
Oh, gosh. You know, at least we'll never be awful as the gays on Bravs. That wasn't even a segue. Let's talk about The Real Housewives of Melbourne first. I have a feeling that a lot of people aren't watching that, you know, because it's on Saturday morning, so why would you be watching it? But, you know, it's fabulous, and you should watch it.
Yeah, you know what? I have to say, when the season began, you know, I enjoyed it because I liked hearing all the accents, and the women all look like drag queens. But I wasn't actually wrapped up in the drama. I was just sort of like, I actually thought the episodes were a little dull. But let me tell you something. I am fully invested now. I am in the middle of this Gina versus the girls feud, and I have taken a side, Team Gina all the way.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's kind of an obvious side to take because she really hasn't done anything except be like fabulous and call people cunts, which I mean, we can get behind.
Yeah, and you know what was actually nice this week was that we saw Gina going on a date, so we saw sort of like a softer side of Gina, which is not unlike the softer side of Sears. And what I really liked is that she met with this woman who was like...
It may be a little bit scratchy on your skin, but, you know, on a cold night, it's still real comfortable to cuddle with.
You know, it's like going from steel wool to regular wool. You know, it's still going to itch, but at least this time it won't actually, like, bleed.
Yeah.
But I thought it was funny how she went to a matchmaker and she like had these random requests. She's like, I don't want to go with a saliva problem. No saliva problem at all.
It'll be hard to eat across from a guy with a saliva problem.
I don't think I can look at a saliva problem. Too much saliva. Too much saliva on the plate.
And she also said he can't have his thumb sticking out because I really don't like that. You know, I mean, people with their thumb sticking out are a bit slow.
Is that slang? Is that slang for like someone who's like autistic or something?
I felt like so bad for the lady across from her because of the accent. I thought Gina said gums, and you know, because some people don't like giant gums. But I was like, Gina, hello, look at who you're talking to. Like, she's talking to a gummy lady.
It would have been funny if they cut to the matchmaker and she had her thumb sticking out and was drooling and her gums were showing. She's like, all right, I think I could find someone like that. Like, these Sheilas certainly have a lot of... Oh, never mind. My accent just got crazy. My accent suddenly went Southern. So that's my problem. With yours, I think yours goes sometimes British and mine sometimes goes Southern.
Mine sometimes goes British and then it goes to Mexican and then it goes back into Texan and then it goes back into Real Housewives of Melbourne. But you know what? It's getting better by the day because I talk like this a lot. And here in Texas, yeah. I'm talking like this to people and they just look at me like I'm crazy and just pretend it's not happening.
Just tell them you're from Melbourne. Just say, hi, I'm Ronnie from Melbourne.
Well, it's I'm my here. Own family, so I can't really do that. They just look at me like, why are you doing that? And then they learn not to ask because then I tell them the story of, oh, I'm watching this show called The Real Housewives of Melbourne and everyone's mean to Gina. And she went on a date with a guy, and then someone wrote an open letter about her online. It's all very scandalous. They're like, that's great, Ronnie. So college still sound like a good idea? Are we still afraid of college?
Okay. Like, I'm going to go hang out with my friend Chica right now. Hang out with Chica. And we're going to go look
hang out with my friend Mama Chica. Scara. She's got a neck like a sleeping bag, and it always makes me feel real confident in public.
Her hairstyle looks like a cockatiel.
Someone's trying to keep the Caroline Manto look alive, so I'm trying to show her my support.
I really like when she has parties at the Legionnaire.
I love when she has parties named out of diseases you get in Hugh Hefner's hot tub.
I love when she takes me to advanced openings to West Elm.
To West Elm.
I like when she takes me to advanced openings to Z Gallery.
Yeah, so they had like a special opening this weekend of West Elm, which has come to Australia from the States. And they're so excited. They're like, look at all these. Look at placemats. Look, plastic placemats. Wow. Classy. We'll take 20. Well, have you guys not had Target yet? Because you'd be pooping on the floor.
Yeah. Well, this way they can go to West Elm for a bit of a shop, you know? A bit of a shop.
Oh, so funny. It's like their fancy store.
Chica was up to a lot of shenanigans this week because she kept on trying to force Gina and Andrea together. I think she did like at least two times, maybe even three, where she surprised the two of them in a social environment. First was like the shop at West Elm. Then there was like the doggy party. You know, I'm surprised that she hasn't like arranged like a sauna date and then the three of them are sitting there.
Yeah, there was a doggy party and they all got to try on clothes. And who was the one without a dog? Oh yeah, the psychic. Shine, shine, shine.
Shine, shine, shine.
She's like, oh, this planet too rock. Everyone has a dog party. Where I come from, they don't have dog parties.
Well, we have big dogs, you know, but we don't have dog parties. I'm from Newcastle. Well, I actually have to say, normally I hate, like, the little dog shit that comes on Bravo. Like, on Married to Medicine, when Quad had her doggy design. Like, every time that they...
How dare you! That is my life! That is my heart, man!
Are we in the hood? Are we in Pups in Paris? But, like, so normally I find it really, like, annoying. But I have to say, this was the first time that they had some sort of, like, little doggy thing where I was laughing out loud because those costumes were hilarious. What's the name of Lydia's dog again? Dog? It was like Alfredo or like Frederico?
I don't know. The big news here was her maid. But go ahead. We'll stick with her dog for a sec.
Well, just for a sec. And then we'll go to Joanna. But no, her dog was like this. They put the dog in some weird like Renaissance costume. And I was like laughing out loud. And there was one dressed like a butterfly. And one dog was dressed like Batman. I think it was Gina's dog was dressed like Batman. I have to say, I'm not a dog person. I am not into little dog stuff on Bravo. But that was cracking me up. That was one of the highlights of the show for me.
Yeah, that was super cute. I'm looking here to see what else went. I didn't write anything down for Pooch Party.
No, not, that's all that happened at the Pooch Party. Except that Andrea tried to avoid Gina. She was like, I don't care if I ever have to talk to her.
Well, she should be afraid because she can't actually have a normal conversation with her where she doesn't get owned.
Well, by the way, Andrea also launched a few more of her classically terrible jokes. I think at the Pooch Party she says, my dog's a spoiled little bitch. Well, she is a female dog. I'm like, yes, Andrea, we get the joke. You know what I call my dog? I call her a bitch because she's a female dog.
But she didn't even call her a bitch, yeah. Did she?
No, she called her a spoiled little bitch.
Oh, whatever.
You know what I call my dog? An animal with four legs.
You know what my dog does? It breathes a lot.
You know my dog loves to eat dog food because she's a dog.
You know, Gina's just like my dog because my dog likes to breathe and so does Gina.
Gina's like a human version of my dog. Is that she walks and so does my dog. They both like to walk a lot and go to the bathroom.
Sometimes my dog's like Gina because she just goes around the block a lot.
Gina's sort of like my dog. They're both women.
Well, she is a dog.
Do you,
She's the dumbest fucking human being. I love how she's just trying to be so bitchy, but she can't even find a way to do it. Like in West Elm, the girls are talking to Gina, and Gina's like, "Girls, gather round. I want to have a cancer party because I got over cancer 10 years ago, and I want to have a party where we all eat red dye and drink Diet Cokes and just, you know, say fuck you to fate." And the girls are like, "Oh, we'd love to." And then Andrea sees them talking, so she gets all mad. So she gathers the girls. She's like, "Gather round, girls. I want to do a day where I take you to the spa, and I do lots of...
I know.
We get lots of facials together." And they're like, "Oh, that sounds lovely." And I'm like, okay, so Gina is asking them to a cancer party, and you're going to have to pay for a spa day. I think Gina won this round, dumb bitch.
Yeah, Gina certainly did. And by the way, fucking Lydia, right? Because Gina says this thing, and Lydia's like, "Well, are you going to invite Andrea?" And Gina's like, "Well, no, I don't think so." And then
Lydia's like, "Are you going to invite the woman who's standing on the opposite side of the store from you and giving you dirty looks, not speaking to you, and turning around every time you come near her?" She's like, "No, I don't think so." She's like, "You need to get over it.
You need to get over it." But meanwhile, Lydia does not say that to Andrea. And by the way, who is the first person to not invite Gina someplace? It was Andrea when she had the red carpeted opening to whatever that plastic surgery place is that her husband has, you know?
Oh, God.
So that was what I thought was hilarious when it came out later when Andrea found out that Gina was having some sort of like girls' night in party and then was mad about it. And she's like, well, that's it. I'm not inviting Gina to anything else. But I'm like, no, you already did not invite her. You already disinvited her from a function. You don't get to act like you were the victim here.
Oh, yeah. She's like, well, that's the last straw.
That's the last straw.
That's the last straw, you idiot. Okay, what was her first straw? She was late. She was late somewhere. Well, first she was late. And then in the bathroom, she said someone was writing a book about a vagina. And then she said the C word. And now she's not inviting me to a cancer party. Who wants to be bitched at their cancer party?
Exactly. That's exactly. And, you know, Gina had a perfectly good response, which is to say, you know, she's someone that I was like, that I was open with when I talked to her about my cancer and I cried with her. And now she's come and been like aggressive towards me and like, you know, sort of like, I don't feel comfortable with her. You know, this is, she basically was saying this is a personal thing for me. And why would she invite Andrea?
Yeah. Here's Andrea's speech at the cancer party. "Hello, everyone. I'd like to thank the hostess for having such crappy wine that I'm drinking my own that I brought in my purse. And I'd like to say, you know, Gina had a battle with cancer, and Gina won. So next time, let's root harder for cancer. Thanks for having me. Do you have any better food? Because this food sucks."
"You know what I call this cancer party? I call it a party for cancer, because all I want to do is party and think about cancer.
You know, I'm calling this a party for cancer because it's the only person who wasn't invited that I really wanted back."
You know what I like to do? I like to dress up in my doily dress and go to cancer parties. And when I'm not invited, I get mad. You know who else gets mad? Mad people.
You know what causes cancer? Madness. And if I get cancer because I got mad, Gina's going to pay.
You know who's going to need some chemotherapy? Gina, because your cancer's going to come back.
She's such a bitch. So I would like to discuss before we move on.
Yeah.
Because I brought it up last week, but we didn't talk about it.
All right.
And that was this letter, this open letter to Gina.
Oh,
it's called, it's real long, so tell me when you want me to stop reading, but it's called Letter to Gina with Love.
It's obviously written...
It's not signed, of course, but this came out in, let's see.
It's not signed?
No. It's an anonymous letter that blew up the internet in Melbourne.
That's so ridiculous.
It blew up the Melbourne Roadrunner system. All right. "Dear Gina, this open letter has been a work in progress for some time. Draft after draft, tossed out after each new revelation comes to light. I'm going to tell you up front that this letter is not an attack, nor is it meant to be anything short of dot, dot, dot. What do you say?
Dealing in the truth. Stop right now. How do you write an open letter and then say it's not an attack? I mean.
Totally.
Go on.
"You make everyone believe. I hope you can, too." I don't know what that sentence even means. And you're going to see how this is written by Andrea with how stupid this letter is. Because it makes as many points as Andrea can in real life. "I've had the privilege of being intimately involved in the life you work very hard to portray. The glitz, the glam, the fucking hair and makeup alone deserve their own applause. The shoes, the dresses, the height on that hair, the smell of that signature cheap perfume. That'll be important later, so let's move on. In the atmosphere that is so Gina. Let's start with the barrister status. You're a public defender. Don't deny it. You'll never be the other Gina who you've shared a press article with. She discusses winning cases. You discuss closed-toed shoes. Bravo to you for that little stunt. You have a law degree, but I've spoken at length to various individuals, all who volunteered to identify themselves if necessary, and you're still just a public defender who represents many of the sample people who fight for you online. I'll pay your bail if you can use Twitter. Shocker.
Still, what? Not an attack.
Still just being nice, just saying hi. This is like a personal email message.
Yeah, and by the way, oh, how dare she be someone who is a public defender who helps people who can't afford a lawyer? How dare she?
Yeah, how dare she not just work for money? How dare she actually try and do something useful with her brains? What a cunt! Oh, we can't say that. And I love that the other criticism was so stupid. It's like, oh, and you just get Twitter followers by representing people. Like, a public defender can be like, all right, listen here, murderers. I'm going to get you all off if you follow me on Twitter. Care to shed any light on that? Are your cases so high profile that even the media cannot begin reporting? Doubtful, princess, doubtful indeed. Though on good authority from an invaluable source, you definitely have represented that real estate mogul slash lover of yours. Let's move on to that. You left him open for speculation almost instantly. We'll call him Dave. He has a business too, so I'll be fair. Well, Dave has a past. I'm sure you know, after all, you were there for much of it. Dave not also ran...
Again, not an attack.
Yeah, now I'm gonna not attack the people you're close to. Dave also runs a new powerful empire. Did he bankroll your spot on the show? Well, the day you magically flew off to Florida, that's Florida for anyone who can't get over Gina's dialect. And if you're Gina fan, then I will clarify, Florida is in the United States. I know it's difficult to catch on. Okay, now you're not attacking Gina's fans. I have nothing to do with the show. Back to that day, you did not go to Florida to see Dave because you were upset. You had plans prior to filming to see Dave and go on a little holiday. Silly. They must have edited that part out of the show for ratings. Fail.
Silly.
Silly. After all, a powerful man like Dave would definitely be fucking anything that moves in Miami. We could ask around, but why get sidetracked? What? See, she's not even saying anything. She's like, ooh, you have a boyfriend named Dave. Wow.
By the way, I hate that this, like, open letter is anonymous. How shitty to write all this stuff and then you don't even have the balls to sign your own name.
Yeah. And it's not like none of it. Still, we have not found an accusation except she works as a public defender.
Yeah.
The other stuff is like your boyfriend's a whore. Well, we already kind of all knew that.
And that's why she broke up with him. So there's that. And then they're like, well, you didn't go to Florida to make up to dump him. You went to Florida because you already had a plan to go to Florida.
Like, yeah, that's so classic. You should have gotten her. It's like a page so far. It's like, you've gotten nothing in, you dumb hoe.
Like, you, and here's another thing. You said you had a salad last night, but I know for a fact you had a salad and a roll. I know that for a fact.
Am I gonna have to hack into your MyFitnessPal account? Am I going to have to do that and show everybody the handful of raisins you had before lunch? Because I'll do it, Gina.
You're a liar, Gina. You're a
this
liar.
This proves you're a liar. A raisin liar.
You're a raisin liar, Gina. Gina, I know you always say you eat currants because you think that makes it sound so fancy, but I know you're just eating raisins.
To anybody who thinks currants is a real word, you're a Gina fan. Like, what's that? Like, she didn't pronounce Florida right. You've heard all your dialects, right?
Go on. This is, like, this letter's amazing.
This is good, right?
Yeah.
So, you trashed a castmate for how many episodes about the truth and Dave cheating? Nice work. You scored fans and ratings with a few clever lies. Did you feel good about that? Shitting properly on the new girl to the group? Your true colors. Google, LinkedIn, Gina L, CEO. Were evident to anyone with a brain. On to brains. You are a brilliant legal mind. You're roped in foxtails.
By the way, great segue.
I know. And another thing that had no that made no sense. So you trashed a castmate, like that poor wilting wallflower who's married to a rock star. That poor innocent girl.
And she didn't – she wasn't really trashing what's-her-face, Shoin. She basically was – you know, she was, like, annoyed that she would say those things. And then they squashed the beef, and everything is fine, and they seem to actually get along more or less.
Yeah, and she was like, how dare you? Let's see. On to Brains. You are a brilliant legal mind. You roped in
– I would have loved this. Like, on to Brains. Here's another thing you might not know about Gina. She's a zombie. She likes to eat brains.
On to Brains. You act like you have a brain when actually you eat brains. Gina. Gina's a brain eater.
Here's what I gotta. Here's what I have to say about Gina's brain. It's in her head.
let me see here. You roped in Foxtel and everyone involved into a neat little contract where you get to behave badly, feed your ego, literally ruin lives, and then tell producers, wait.
Literally ruin lives?
She's literally ruined lives.
Whose life has she ruined?
Whoever had to clean those embroidered towels is still in a corner.
Yes.
Mumbling to themselves and rocking back and forth with drool dripping down their face.
And their thumbs.
So apparently... literally ruin lives and then tell producers ... wait, here it comes, all caps ... I'm a barrister, edit that out or it will ruin my career as a barrister. And that's like written huge. It's like it's in like a different font size. Like that's something so bad. I was on the other end of the call first time I heard that neat little trick. Isn't that fun? You took responsibility for hundreds of lives the day you forced your hand with that contract. Cast members, staff, down to the person who runs to get coffee on set. That's cute. You just swooped in and made it your show. Care to deny it? Does any of that make any sense to you?
It just sounds like whoever wrote this is a jealous bitch.
You took responsibility for hundreds of lives.
What? Wait, you said lives? I thought you said lies. You said lives?
Lives. You took responsibility for hundreds of lives the day you forced your hand with that contract. What the fuck does that mean?
Well,
I feel like Gina's been bombing ISIS. Like, innocents have been getting killed. What the hell are you talking about?
I'm like having images of like of Andrea holding up a sign that says like hashtag bring our girls back or something, you know? It's like...
So there's a couple more paragraphs that are nonsense, but so the whole podcast isn't this. I'll just skip to like the good part because it's obviously Andrea.
I'm thoroughly entered. I'm like loving all of this.
Oh, okay. Well, I can keep on if you want. Okay, so I'll just keep on. Just tell me when you don't like it anymore, okay? Oh, the show itself. This little franchise of horrors indeed. So you had some friends, it seemed. They all behaved badly. Thank you, Foxtel Arena, for the editing job that is so poor. If you freeze frame and replay minutes of dialogue at a time for multiple episodes, you can in fact get the real filming for most of the cast. Well, doesn't make any sense. I'm telling you. This letter's cray.
This is obviously Andrea because anyone who's still on the show would never talk back against producers.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, if you, and why are we going to go, I'm getting in a better position in bed.
Yeah.
But,
you know what Ronnie likes to do? He likes to get comfortable.
let's see. Well, you didn't like anyone who wasn't interested in you. They aren't interesting either day in, day out, so no loss. What? What does that mean?
It's hundreds of lives. Hundreds of interesting lives that are at risk. You don't take any interest in them.
You've took thousands of lives on this season.
Don't you realize that since you're not interested in them, that therefore they're going to die? Way to go, Gina.
The new girl was mean. No, she wasn't. Dave is powerful and has money. Sluts love that. So blame Dave, not the angel lady who sees shit. It's not what defines her. .. What?
Not an attack. I'm really glad that this is not an attack.
I know, me too.
I would think that she's a real bitch.
I know, I'm glad she's keeping it civil here, because she's got a whole business that her husband's worked really hard to build, and she's not fucking it up at all. So good on you, Andrea.
Yeah, yeah.
Your ex-friend, the skincare queen. Well, she just loves her fucking self and is making a list right now. So you decided she was the best bet to shit on. I know having a husband and father of her three babies, wait, where's yours, is upsetting for the mother of a few men's offspring. Children are off limits, according to you, so I'll move on. What?
Is she referring to herself now?
Yes. She's saying, yes, I'm trying to decipher what she's trying to say, but she's basically saying, haha, I have a husband and three babies while your kids are, like, fathered by different men or something because you're a slut. I don't know. By the way, Amazon sells a little thing called a micro camera. You should have thought long and hard at who you spent time with when we got that little bit of footage. Bad Gina talking nonsense. What? I don't know what she's talking about still. Maybe that's a future episode because it looks like shit is really hitting the fan starting this week and next week.
Wow.
Oh, there's the moron who married money. That's all right, Gina. She was your friend, but you were a little boring by episode 3, so you shit on her too. That was fun. I think she actually called you family, but we knew that's a lie because you barely knew her. Oh, well, she's probably getting her car repainted and flying in her husband's plane. Stupid sex fiend. I guess you hate that you lease your Benz and Dave sends you a Qantas ticket when the local U.S. holes get boring. Your oldest on all fronts friend, the Diamond Baron Cougar, well, she loved you a lot, but she's a bit old and forgets, and she forgot to back you up after a long day of filming, so you've had it with her. Wahoo to her, she's free of you. Am I off basis yet? You know the recorded phone calls are fun, too. Those may not be legal, but people on set look at you for a reason, Gina.
This is so vile.
It's disgusting, so vile. And it just goes downhill. Who's left? Oh, yes, the syrupy sweet catering queen. I like where you both bought followers for social media from the same damn company you achieved 10,000 status simultaneously. We've used the app. Gina, we know you need to look special and be a winner at Ginaville, so you helped out your only ally. Did you tell everyone that you have dirt on your friend, the Queen of Cake? It hardly seems fair that her husband has to take the fall if she stops filming with you. Applause for Gina. So,
yeah, so now they can go after Chica, who's the nicest person of all, who's the only one trying to keep this thing civilized.
Yeah, but that's why they're going after her, because she won't play their games. And so now she's saying the only reason she's being nice to Gina is because Gina is blackmailing her and will bring down her catering empire. Because yeah. What I want in a caterer is someone who's morally sound. I do not want any caterer who's possibly had an affair or taking naked pictures anywhere, all right?
My goodness, if I find out that Chica's husband is gay, I will never order canapes from her again.
No kidding. I'm going to Whole Foods for my wedding catering. Do you know my parents have friends who got their wedding catered at Whole Foods? Come on, guys.
So what I love is also this huge denial about the fact that people might actually like Gina and the fact that, like, people follow Gina on Twitter because they like her and not because she bought them. Like,
well, and also because, but also they follow her because she'll save them if they ever get a DUI or go to jail or something.
So. Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
So, Foxtail, we can't say much to you, but we could ask Gina. Which employee on the daily is threatened with legal action to get away? From the president of the group to the poor bastard who cleans up her fake tanner? It's always someone else's fault, isn't it? I'm crying. Hope my mascara stays. Regarding these recorded calls and videos, did you know one of your castmates is so paranoid that she has a pinhole camera at the reunion? I hope you're starting to feel a bit ugly inside. You have a special way of deepening your voice when you're being crude. It must really be effective in court. Is it, Gina?
Case closed. I wish Andrea were a lawyer. I love that that's like her, that was her moment right there.
And I love that someone's wearing a camera and that makes Gina an asshole. Like, yeah, that's Jill Zarin work right there. And, like, you know, it's like you're copying Jill Zarin. That makes you the biggest fucking asshole in Housewives history, okay?
So we'll just have to keep an eye out for who's wearing giant Tyra Banks fat suit glasses at the reunion. And by the way, does this person who showed up at the reunion realize that it's actually already televised, so there's no need for a pinhole camera?
Well, she's saying to protect it from the editing in case Gina tries to sue him.
Yeah, I'm sure that will be really legal if she puts up her own footage. I'm sure that there won't be any ramifications for that.
I'm sure it's just going to be monstrous anyway. Gina's going to be eating off baby heads and, like, you know, making Holocaust jokes and shit.
By the way, I just went to Gina's Twitter, which, by the way, I almost feel like we should all follow her because based on this ridiculous thing, it's Gina, G-I-N-A, underscore whatever that is, that what it's called, underscore the little flat line, Liano, L-I-A-N-O. And so here's the thing that's funny. She has 17,941 followers. Okay, so now that's more than I have. That's like probably like 11,000 more than I have. as far as celebrities go, not huge, okay? It's actually pretty small. So the fact that these women are carping about her Twitter followers is hilarious. Because if you're going to buy Twitter followers, you're not going to buy, like, you know, 5,000.
Well, she's on Public Defender salary bin.
Yeah. I forgot. Dave didn't bankroll the Twitter followers.
Oh, Amber from Big Brother posted something to Cindy C posted this on that Bravoholics group. Hilarious. It's a screenshot of Amber sending a tweet that says, "Oh, Frankie, I know you want to get up to a million followers, but you shouldn't have to buy them." And then it's a screenshot of his followers, and they're all like foreign letters.
Oh, snap.
It's awesome.
The bonus episode.
Yeah, it's so funny.
All right. So what? Okay. Well, so back to the show. Why don't we go back to the show?
Yeah. So that's basically it. She basically said the next thing she goes on is that Gina smokes cigarettes and then talks about having cancer and then sprays herself with all this perfume and it's disgusting. And then she says, "Gina, will you please just accept that your ego and eyeliner have corrupted your brain?" And then,
Not an attack.
Love Always, your biggest fan. And it says, "P.S. I still love you. I just really wanted to see you, not this nonsense on air. What a shame. You're just not that special without your sideshow." Which I don't know what any of this means, but if this is the worst you've got, you have nothing, people.
Yeah. And you know, the thing is this, Gina will not respond because she's too classy. Oddly enough, the woman with the crazy makeup is too classy. But you know that if she wanted to respond, as she is a barrister, she would probably eviscerate this woman. And she wouldn't even go into allegations of, like, gossip, whatever. She would just do a point-by-point list of why Andrea has become so vile and so terrible. Here's my take on it all. Does Gina owe them an apology for being very late? Does she owe them an apology for calling one of them a cunt? And does she owe them an apology for wearing heels on the tennis court? You know, probably, you know. And you know what? Guess what? She did. At that dinner party on the beach, she said, if you look at the footage, she actually said, she's like, "I didn't realize that it upset you, and I'm sorry. I'm sorry." But they just kept on going at her.
Yeah.
And all of this, like, don't want to be in the same room with her, they're acting as if she chopped someone's head off. You know, it's like so above and beyond. We're not saying that Gina is faultless. She did some things that were wrong, and she should, you know, seeing how it really bothered the women, she should apologize. But when they act so viciously, and the fact that they can't even broach the topic in a friendly way and say, "You know what, it really upset me when you did this," and the fact that she can't, you know, the fact that they are so aggressive, of course she's not going to want to apologize because she's like, "Fuck these bitches. I don't want to tell them anything." So I get
it. And also they're coming at her in a way that it's not like, "You know, Gina, it really upset me that you're wearing shoes on my tennis court." It's not that. It's like, "You wore these shoes. You disrespected my $40,000. You know, it's like they try and make it like it's this huge thing. And they obviously just want to take her down, and she's not going to give them the leverage. She's just staying strong and being like, "Fuck you." I mean, if you're in the middle of a bunch of women trying to take you down, that's vicious. You've got to stay strong, man. You've got to be like a roly-poly, roll yourself up in a little ball and just get ready to get pinged around.
Right. And then on top of that, you know, they're also just looking for excuses to attack her. I mean, at every scene that involves Andrea or Lydia, they are going out of their way to be like, "Oh, is Gina coming?" You know, they start the conversation. They get the ball rolling so they can bash her like anew. Which is pretty vile, and it's you know, it's something that people do, unfortunately, and we're seeing it happening. And then but actually though, Gina did, in the middle of all this, Gina did call Lydia and told Lydia that Janet said that Lydia was brainless. Right. Now, Gina, if she were a nice person, she probably wouldn't have relayed that information. But as Janet herself even said, it was kind of Gina's way of
getting
revenge. And the thing is this, Janet even admitted that. In her interview, she's like, "Well, you know, I did say that, I did tell all the women that what Gina had said. So this was her way of getting back at me." So she seemed almost to accept it. And then
she said something like, "Karma's a bitch," you know?
Yeah. But you know, the thing is, the women riled her all up again. And because Lydia confronted Janet, and Janet's like, "Oh, I did. I threw you under the bus. But I threw you under the bus to make Gina feel better." And it's like, oh, here we go again. And so then she meets with Gina at the end of the episode, and they and basically Janet is like, "You owe all the women an apology. Gina, you owe them an apology. And Gina's like, for what? You know, and then basically it turned into a fight. And the best part is that Janet denied, by the way, that she called Lydia brainless. And then we saw the clip of her calling her brainless, which is my favorite reality show thing.
But I love that she doesn't even really deny it. She just says, I didn't call you brainless, darling. I said that you weren't that smart.
I just said that, darling, I didn't say you were brainless. I just said that you weren't very bright.
Like, that's better. And Lydia's like, oh, all right. Well, you know, like, still. Oh.
Well, no, I adore you anyway.
They're like, but you came clean. You came clean. So, that's what's important.
I know. It's so ridiculous. So then they have this fight. And then, so my DVR always, like, ends before the show's over. And so the last thing I saw was Gina saying, well, that's it. Friendship's over.
Well, because she, Janet was saying, oh, you know, that's why they were telling you off when we were on our trip. And she said, so you think that was right, that they told me off like that? And she's like, I did. I thought it was justified. So that's it then. That's the end of the friendship. That's it. We're done. It's like, well, what do I care?
Yeah, that's where I got
You're going to care, bitch. I mean, so that was pretty much it. But the best part of this entire episode, and we didn't even talk about Lydia's maid, but we should probably move on.
Yeah, let's talk about it. Joanna.
But the best part, the best part was the clips for the next episode, because shit goes down.
See, I didn't get to see that.
And someone tells, I have to make this a ringer, someone tells Gina, have you learned anything? And she goes, yeah, I've learned that women can be a bunch of assholes. The best line ever.
Make that a ringtone, because this is another plug for our Patreon page. If you pledge $5 per episode once a month, you get a new ringtone. So maybe that'll be our first one.
Yeah. I don't know if we can legally take theirs. I think it might have to be us doing it.
That's fine.
Which might be even funnier.
Yeah,
if your ring is like, I've learned that women can be a bunch of assholes. I've learned that women can be a bunch of assholes.
Yeah, exactly. Now, by the way, we can talk about Joanna, because what I thought was funny was that Lydia was watching Joanna, this lovely maid slash housekeeper slash confidant. And this woman is just like chopping a cucumber. Like, all she's doing is chopping a cucumber. And Lydia's like, oh, how did you do that? How'd you learn how to do that? How did you do that? It's like, bitch.
Well, I think what she was saying is she wasn't chopping it. She was peeling it. And she was peeling it with a knife instead of a peeler.
I know, but then she started to chop it, too.
Oh, because I was like, who peels like that? And she's like, I taught myself. It's funny because Lydia's like, oh, you know, Joanna's just the most lovely person. I met her actually outside of my house. She was outside of my house in the front there. And then I just brought her inside. And she's been with me ever since. You know, Joanna, do you know where my dress is? And Joanna's like, no, I don't know where your dress is. Oh, this closet is so messy. This closet need to organize. And she's like, oh, Joanna, you do that, darling. You do that for me.
I love how Lydia is so self-serving, also with her compliments of Joanna. She's like, you know, one day, Joanna showed up, and she had a huge tree in her hands. And I said, Joanna, what's this? She said, well, with the money that I've been able to earn working here, I was able to buy my family an acre of farmland, so now they grow things, and this is for you. And she's like, and she had tears running down her eyes for all the generosity that I've had for her. And I was just, she was so appreciative of everything I've done for her.
She's a saver. She's a saver. Oh, yeah, she's disgusting, that woman. But hilarious. She's like, I don't know. I can't remember the last time I had to clean my house. That's for someone else to do. And God bless Joanna's like dumb as a brick, but it's hilarious because Lydia can't be upstaged by an intelligent maid. You know, when you have to get someone who's like even slightly dumber than Lydia, you're going to be in trouble. I would be surprised if anything got done in that house. I mean, this woman dug up a tree and just like brought it in. I think she is. I think she's pretty dumb. I was getting that from the thing, but then again, I thought she was trying to peel with a knife, which is why I'm saying that.
There's nothing wrong with peeling with a knife.
Wasn't peeling though, Ben. Did you see her technique, Ben? You want to fight about peeling? All right. I know how to peel, Ben. All right.
I'm going to write an open letter to Joanna. I'll be like, guess what? That knife that you got, I heard it was bankrolled by Dave. Let's just call him Dave. That tree that you got, I heard that you just picked up that tree at a nursery. You didn't even have an acre of farmland. You just put that money towards a new car.
Funny. Oh, my God. Okay, well, that's Real Housewives of Melbourne. It's probably the least watched show on Bravo right now. We just took like an hour of our podcast for it, but you guys, totally worth it.
Into it. So, you know what? I am actually truly enjoying the show. I think it's you know, it was, again, slow start, but it's like, you know what, to go back, this is a perfect segue to New Jersey, because when Jersey, when they had the fist fight a few weeks ago, I made this whole thing about how when these fights go from 0 to 60 in a season, like if they meet each other and the next thing you know they're pulling their hair, it doesn't feel real, or there's no stakes. You don't know the people well enough. You don't care about the situation. You just think that these are crazy people.
Right.
But when you let a situation percolate, when you let it build and build and build, and then it reaches a boiling point, you are so invested. And that's where I'm at with Melrose right now. And where I'm not at with New Jersey. Oh my God.
Talk about a show where nothing happens. I agree. That show is just fucking ridiculous. And next week it looks like shit's hitting the fan because one of the twins is going to find out about this rumor because stupid Amber is like got her results back, her mysterious crazy clown cancer results back. I mean, what a retard.
Clown cancer.
Well, it's just such a joke. And what doctor plays into that? You know, he's like, your test results came back. Now look. When I first looked at these results, they looked pretty crazy, and you gotta look closer, and I'm glad you came back. Do we need to cut the commercial? Okay, wait for it. Wait for it. You might be dying. Wait for it. You're almost dead. You could be dying. Something's growing inside of you, but it's not cancer. Congratulations. I'm done here. I'm out!
Like, what the He's fuck like, the kind results of doctor is your, that? The results from your cancer test are positive. Great for you. They're negative.
You're a negative person, but not necessarily of cancer. I've got a positive reading from a psychic that says you don't have cancer. Maybe we'll find out next week.
Bad news. You're going to die of laughter when I tell you the results.
I'm going to wear black to your funeral when you die of emphysema as an 80-year-old if you don't die of cancer right now when I open this envelope.
We have to operate immediately on someone in the hospital who is not you.
Like I hope you don't mind getting chemotherapy again in the future if you ever get cancer again because they don't have it now.
I'm afraid you're going to be exposed to radiation if you decide to go on a trip to Chernobyl, which I really advise against. But as for your results.
So this was another episode of Amber going to the doctor with her giant 10 pounds of weave and her huge eyebrows and her 10 inches of orange tanner. And her, like, ball gown dress to go to the doctor. We're all taking this very seriously, okay, Amber? And she didn't go on the trip with the other ladies so she could stay and find out about her almost cancer, which she knew she didn't have, get a little more private camera time.
Yeah.
She was ridiculous. It was really difficult to not fast forward through her scenes, but I didn't because I was like, what if there's a glimmer of something interesting here? Then I miss it. And there wasn't.
No, you're so silly. there's nothing interesting with her. But I want to say this, though, about this whole rumor situation, because for those who have not been watching, the whole thing was that Victoria Gotti told Teresa and Amber that there was that Reno told Victoria Gotti that when he and Teresa were separated, it's because Reno slept with Teresa and Nicole's mother, Santa. Okay, that's the rumor. So I just want to say, for the record, Amber has actually not told anyone. The only one who's told people has been Teresa, who then went and told Dina. And then Dina's like,
well, oh, but
Amber has this information.
In Dina's defense, at that last party, that house thing, what's that party? I don't even know. I don't even know what they're doing on this show anymore. But last time they were gathered at someone's home, Amber was very loudly telling Teresa, well, I just can't sit with this information. Someone has to tell her, and making a huge deal. So Dina knows that she's going to erupt. And yeah, she's like, how do I, A, get the screen time out of this? Because this is about to turn into the Amber and the Twins show. And I've done nothing except cry about my maid leaving. So I better do something more this season.
Well, what was the funny thing was that it was like building up, like it was all going to come out in Florida. And you know what happened? All that happened was that Dina spoke to Nicole about it. And Nicole – oh, no. Was it Nicole? Was it Teresa? I don't remember. She talked to – I think it was Nicole. And Nicole was like, I don't want to know. I don't want to know. And then Dina tells Teresa, and Teresa's like, I think I want to know. And Nicole's like, I wouldn't want to know. I'm going to go sleep. And then the twins get into a fight, and then the show ended. And I'm like, wait, nothing happened. No one said anything. Just the twins got into a fight over nothing.
But we find out Amber calls, and she's like, hi, Dina, it's Amber. And Dina's like, oh, hello. What are you doing? Like, oh, well, I'm calling because I just got my test results back. Dina's like, you went back to school or?
No, my cancer results. I'm free. I need to celebrate. I'm coming to hang out with you girls.
Dina's like, well, congratulations on not having cancer. I guess we'll see you tomorrow. Like, wow, Dina. Let's try and hide our feelings here.
Like, yeah, I know.
What mask those feelings, babe.
You know, the other big thing from the episode was that we had the return of Jacqueline. And it was so
stupid. If this cast means any sign of how shitty they are this season, that's it. Jacqueline came back as Margaret Cho, first of all. What has she been doing alone in her house? She is just one chunky face and two little slits. What is she doing? At this point, she's verging on racism.
Oddly enough, I actually liked the way she looked. I sort of liked her sort of more Asian-y hair.
Because Big Brother's on and you're a Julie Chen fan. Come on, Ben! I'm not saying Asian people aren't good-looking. I'm saying it's racist to try and look like them on purpose. It's like blackface. It's like she's auditioning for the Franklin Lakes Community Theater version of The King and I.
Which she thinks is about a mattress.
You were so stupid.
Could you imagine if you really thought that?
So there was a lot of Blackwater.
Yeah, I mean, her kid is
And immediately she started talking about her kid, you know, which, I mean, I'm sorry, that sucks.
But did you notice also, by the way, that all of Jacqueline's scenes, it was Jacqueline and Kathy, and that was it, right?
Well, I think that Jacqueline and Kathy, who obviously don't still talk, because Kathy looked like, why do I have to hang out with this idiot?
Yeah, well, clearly these were probably like reshoots, that they were like, okay, the season's, so they probably shot them way later, and then they're like, we're going to insert them into the season to make it look like it's part of like what's currently going on, but like they are not interacting with the rest of the cast whatsoever.
Yeah, not yet. And we're looking at Kathy's home, which is, you know, she's building a home, and Jacqueline's there, and Kathy is building a huge kitchen, and Jacqueline's, like, loving it, and I'm thinking, Jacqueline needs a big kitchen, because she needs to come out with her own cookbook on how to season your feelings, because Lord knows she's eaten plenty of them.
Yeah. She, I actually kind of feel bad for Kathy that they're building that huge house, because they're gonna, last in that for 2 years before it gets foreclosed? I mean, she's not a cast member on the show anymore.
I know, but Richie and Kathy, but she started doing this after they were fired, I would guess, because it doesn't look like it's that far along. And, you know, they've got actual money from their gas station or whatever.
That's true.
Gas stations make a lot of money. You're always going to need gas, y'all.
No, I know. I was thinking about that the other day. I was thinking that gas stations, that is a solid source of income.
Yeah. It's like Kleenex. I mean, yeah, sure, all they do is clean up boogers, but we just keep making them. So someone's making a lot of money.
Yeah. So basically, Jacqueline is back and doing nothing. She sent a text to Teresa, a very long text that was not unlike any of the texts that she sent other seasons. Because she always does this. She gets mad at Teresa, and then she feels bad, and she sends a text being like, for what it's worth, I still love you, and I still care for you, and I want everything for the best for you, blah, 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 blah. I miss having you as a friend, but I still think of you as a sister. Like, it's every season she sends that text. So this was like, the fact that she sent it this time is nothing. But the best is that Teresa responds. She goes, thanks, kisses.
She's like, Teresa just sent me a response with pink poodles, a baseball, and a Christmas tree. What does that mean? What does that even mean?
It means that Melania was sitting on the phone.
Yeah, Jacqueline is still up to her same old tricks. And, you know, at this point, now with the other girls who are calling Teresa to get camera time, it's kind of more evident what Jackie was doing the whole time. You know, it's like, I have nothing going on, so let's talk about your legal shit.
Yeah, exactly.
And Teresa is still ignoring her, but the producers are about to shove them back together again, which should be fun.
Yeah. Well, Teresa spent this episode looking at new houses, which I thought was funny. Like, she looked at a house that had, like, a urinal in it, and she's like, yeah, it's all right. It's good.
Like, this is where men stand up to pee, and she's like, well, what's the sink for? It's an 8,000 square foot home. It's this gigantic, gigantic home. I mean, that's huge.
Yeah.
And she's walking around it with her nose in the air, looking like she's going to barf. Yeah. And granted, it wasn't the most tasteful home. And the real estate guy's like, well, I know this house is shitty compared to what you're used to.
The real estate guy was terrible. He kept on being like, well, I know this room is a lot smaller than what you want. Or I know this isn't as pretty as you'd like. Or I know the paint job isn't like what you would want. I'm like, dude, this is not how you sell a house.
And we're just supposed to feel bad for Teresa because she can't afford it anymore. And then Joe comes in a suit. And he's like, what? Who cares? And she's like, well, we was looking for a house, Joe's. And he's like, who cares? So what? So what? Who cares? What was I going to say about this? So this is just a side note, personal note. I am in Texas. And so whenever I'm here, I have to watch this shit while my mom is playing canasta with my dad behind me. Okay. Yeah. So I'm always, you know, we always talk about their commentary. And I really didn't write a bunch of it down this time because it was really, really mean. But the best part was that right before this, I had watched Big Brother. And she had just been my mom had just been going off against illegal immigration. And she's like, at the very least, you could learn English. And then, so these shows were going on and I could just hear her rolling her eyes behind me. And so I turned around and said, you see, Mom, it's not just the illegals who don't learn English. Because the English on Big Brother and Real Housewives of New Jersey, like, come on. Does anyone even go to school anymore? Is anyone required to read anything or speak? None of them can speak. They don't know what anything means.
No, none of them allowed.
Love it.
Yeah, totally uneducated.
Uneducated. Okay, let's see here. Real Housewives of New Jersey. Mom bitching about no one learning English. these people are as bad as illegals. Trip. Tree house shop, LOL, at past clip of other people's bidet. Oh, yeah. She's disgusted about having to live in other people's homes, but she's not disgusted by other people's bidets, which says a lot about that family.
Well, no, now she's, you know, because Teresa's whole thing now is she's like, well, now I've learned that, you know, I care about things more. Like, I used to be superficial, but now I, you know, now I care about, I don't know, I'm not as superficial into material things. I'm like, bullshit.
Yeah,
bullshit.
Really, you're not as superficial, which means you don't have any money in your account, bitch. And I love that she's like, well, we'll sell a house. Joe's like, we'll sell a house for $12 million, which I'm like, whatever number he said. I was like, no, you won't. But let's just pretend it was that. And he's like, and then we'll buy the new one for one. And that's why you're calling it business? And she's like, yeah, yeah, I'm a businesswoman. First of all, businesswoman, if you're in bankruptcy and you're in court for fraud, chances are you're going to owe somebody that money once you liquidize everything you have. Might not be the best time to liquidize.
Yeah. Yeah. They're just idiot criminals, and I can't wait for them to go to jail.
I hope they both do, which is so mean. I'm sorry, children. Sorry, you know, Tia. Melania.
Honestly, let the girls go with Uncle Joe because, you know, I've always been a Joe Gorga fan. And the way he was playing around with his kids was really adorable.
Yeah, you know, the way he was throwing them at each other's heads. Yeah. That was really cute. That was child abuse. He was throwing them and hitting them in each other's head by other flying children.
Oh,
that
they were punching him in the balls. It's fine. It was all good.
And also, him and Melissa both look like they're getting a meth habit or something. Their skin looks weird. Their eyes are never focused. There's something going on there. We're going to hear about that soon in the public, I'm sure.
Okay. Maybe a coke habit. I'll put my money on that.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to say Crystal.
Oh,
okay,
wow.
Let's say. Well, Crystal's very popular in the gay party community, and Joe used to be a gay stripper, and Melissa used to be a straight stripper. So meth really isn't that far off.
By the way, did we talk last week about Greg Bennett from the show? Well, we'll talk about
it. Yeah, we talked about that.
Oh, yeah, we did. You're right.
Let's see. Jack spent blowing all her money on autism. Oh, yeah, that's like Jacqueline. That's like Jacqueline saying, yeah, well, we're going to have to downsize our house, too, because of autism. I'm like, really? So it's not because you're being accused of swindling people out of millions and millions of dollars to fly on private planes and buy homes that you can't afford, Jacqueline? Really? You're going to blame your autistic child?
Listen, we know the real truth. The real truth is that this somehow, some way, this is Ashley's fault. Somehow that girl, she got into the bank account and spent it all on marshmallows.
Oh, God. That show's so stupid. But it's going to be great when we find out about the mother sleeping with the husband. And God, I hope it's true. And I cannot wait for that shit to come out next week.
Yeah.
Yay.
Looks like it'll be a Jim Marchese special.
Yay, I'm excited. He's the only weasel who's really entertaining and working hard to entertain us.
Yeah, he's a real weasel. He did it.
Actually, where was this? Did I close the window? I'm real upset with myself for closing the window. Oh, Nicole Napolitano's teenage sons go after Amber and Jim Marchese on Twitter. Are you interested in that?
We'll talk about that in the bonus episode.
Ooh, okay, I'll keep that window open. That was cold to hold.
That's
that
good.
Back.
Why don't we move on to...
We're nearing our hour, aren't we? We're at our hour. Darn it. All right. So we need to still move on here.
Let's go on to Below Deck.
All right. I wrote this back on the back of a Canasta scorecard. And on the front says, Ronnie, winner. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Thank you. Don't fuck with me when it comes to Canasta, motherfuckers.
By the way, have you ever played Settlers of Catan or Catan?
No, but it's always the pop-up ad on whatever site I'm visiting. It's like...
Really?
Yeah.
Because I played it over the weekend for the first time, and I loved it. Like, I played the board game version. I didn't play the online version. I played the board game version, and if you told me I could now spend... Like, if someone said, hey, Ben, why don't you come over and we'll play Settlers of Catan for the next 6 hours, I'd be like, I'm in.
I'm not thinking of that. That doesn't sound like a pop-up ad kind of game.
No, it's because it's sort of like a... Dungeons and Dragons-y thing. It's so fun.
Oh, wow. I can't get behind that. But you know what? You also like football, and I have to say, sometimes we should celebrate our differences.
That's right. I do. See, listen, I am a man of many facets. I enjoy The Real Housewives. I enjoy Settlers of Catan. I enjoy football.
I think that that's great.
Yeah, it is
great. I just never want to live with you.
That's fine. You don't have to.
I smell peanut butter. Mom? Isn't that weird that I think of my mom? Well, I think she's home, but would she be cooking peanut butter? That's weird, right?
Making a home brew of peanut butter.
You should see these giant gold pillows with feathers all over them. It's hilarious. Okay, I'll post them today on the website because this shit's hilarious in this house.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll read that later. Okay, so we are on Below Deck. That's not in Melbourne. So Adrian comes back for this one.
She's back and worse than ever.
So what was her deal? Because I watched the first couple episodes last season, and then I was like, maids. But she just seemed like a little A-type to me, but everybody hates her guts, huh? What happened there?
I didn't watch all of last season, but I probably watched, like 4 or 5 episodes. And I always, I didn't mind Adrian. She was cold, and she was bossy, but I feel like that's it. She was the boss. That she was getting the shit done. But apparently people really, really, really hated her.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize that until she arrived. And then everyone had a bad reaction. And to be fair, she was kind of like, I don't know. I thought it was a little rude of her to like spread that rumor about why Kat and the other girl hate each other. Amy, is that her name? Amy?
Yeah. Well, it's not a rumor. It sounds like it's actually what happened. And, you got to credit Kat because Kat's like a really good alcoholic slut. She's a classic. Like, she's not somebody who like sobers up and blames the guy or, does any of that stupid sorority girl stuff. She actually wakes up and she's like, maybe I did blow him. Maybe it was a threesome. Maybe I fucked the entire boat. I don't know. I was blackout drunk.
Yeah, she did not deny, which I thought was cool. But then she got mad because I think she got mad first that Adrian was even saying these things in front of clients, which is really bad. But I guess since Adrian's not on the boat, she's allowed to. But then this somehow became – she got mad at Amy about this. And I have to say, I don't think that she should have gotten mad at Amy. I think actually the story makes sense. I don't think that like Amy is like mad that Kat is like stole away the love of her life or something and still has sour grapes. I think the situation is what, as Amy described it, that like she did this and it was shady and it made me realize she's just a shady bitch and I'm just going to keep her at arm's length, basically.
Well, Kat's just embarrassed because she's sitting there with the guests.
Yeah.
And she basically, this girl, Amy, without knowing that she was doing it, by telling the entire world what a slut cat was, she gave her greatest enemy, ammunition, which
yeah.
I understand. But, you know, if you can't sand the sperm crust on your T-shirt, get out of the blowjob factory. Like,
yeah.
Get out of the blowjob kitchen. What do you say?
Yeah.
You blew him. You know, I know it's not nice to be slut shamed, but the more sluts that stand up for their rights, the less slut shaming there's going to be.
Exactly. Soon it will no longer be embarrassing to have semen-covered seahorse pillows.
Yeah, exactly. It's just part of the game. You know, maids fuck too.
Yeah. No, I think that probably what happened was, yeah, Kat was probably embarrassed. It was in front of the clients, and it was from her mortal enemy. And even though she didn't deny it, she didn't really totally – she was so sort of blindsided that it was easier for her to take it all out on Amy than to actually be like, yeah – that was shady of me. I should not have done that. Oh, well.
Well, she doesn't like Amy anyway, and she never really understood why Amy stopped talking to her.
Right.
Because I remember at the beginning of the season, she's like, well, Amy, we used to be friends, and then all of a sudden she's not talking to me. So, and then she tried hinting around at why they're not friends, and Amy wouldn't say anything. So then to find out later that it's because she blew some dude when she was blackout drunk. So that's how it seems at first, right? So I'm thinking, okay, well, I'm kind of on Kat's side because if this girl had just told her, you hurt my feelings, blah, 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 none of this would have happened. But right. Then we see the scene from next week where Amy's flirting with the dude, the new guy, and
yeah.
Kat's immediately in the hot tub trying to get some ass. And I was like, oh, I see. So she's an aggressive slut.
Yeah,
and that's not cool.
No. Yeah, no, exactly. No, I felt bad for Amy. I mean, although she also took things out of proportion. I mean, she overheard Kat venting to Kate. And Kate, you know, is like laughing because it's all silly. And then Amy tries to come in and like just, you know, clear the air. And then Kat's like, no, you're not allowed in. Like, I give her more of a British accent than she has. But she closes the door. And then it became a whole thing. But, you know, by the way, Amy is not like some angel because in the beginning of the episode, she confronted Janice about the fact that Janice broke her brother's heart and was like, I just want you to know.
Oh, that was cool. I didn't like that.
No, it was real bitchy. She's like, I just want you to know that guy's a good man. And you may not regret it now or a day or a week or a month from now, but there'll come a point where you're going to regret not going to him because you will, I hope you meet someone as good as him.
Well, that was the most awkward thing anyway, because the poor girl's just trying to stock the fridge. And she's like, hey, what's her name? She's like, how you doing, J-Dog? She's like, good. She's like, say anything you want to talk about? She's like, no. Does this mean we have to talk about your brother? And she's like, well, I just want you to know that I hope that one day down the line in your life, you're lucky enough again to have a decent man like my brother, because he is amazing. And good luck to you. And I hope you don't mind your decision. I hope you don't regret that decision, because he's too good for you. I was like, Jesus, bitch, back off. Like,
I know.
That is why Southern women are scary. They are the nicest. They're like, to your face, they're like, oh my God, praise Jesus, you're beautiful. And then the next minute, they're like, how does your back feel? I'm about to stick something in it. You feel okay? And you're bleeding from your eyes, and you're like, what just happened?
Yeah, I mean, it's true. And I mean, I don't disagree with anything Amy said. I think she was actually right on the money. Janice will regret it because this guy was hot and nice and would fight for her. But it was really cool to say it to her face.
Well, you don't say that. You just say, hey, I hope it doesn't make things uncomfortable with us because you had weird things with my brother. He's such a nice guy. I wish you'd give him a chance. But I understand you have a boyfriend and we're not in a world. You know, what kind of woman is like, just cheat on your boyfriend anyway? Who cares? Like, come on, women. Let's try and like stick up for each other a little here. Stop just throwing each other under the bus. I think the boyfriend deserves some respect.
Well, it may work out for the boyfriend after all, because Janice got dumped over FaceTime sitting under a palm tree.
Yeah, pretty much. That was awkward.
Yeah, he's like, so she's like, you're so cute. You're so cute. I just want to kiss you. He's like, yeah, so I don't think this is going to work out. She's like, so are you going to come visit me? He's like, I don't think so. I think I'm going to go to like Fort Lauderdale instead. And she's like, well, if you're going to come anywhere, why don't you want to come see me? He's like, I don't want to do that.
Yeah, he's like, it doesn't seem like you're into it either. She's like, yeah, but if you came to the States and didn't come where I was, I mean, we'd be over, right? He's like, I mean, yeah. Beep, 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 beep. Yeah. It's like he hangs up on her.
He's like, I realize that you're just a very plain girl. And I think it's not that I can do much better, but I think anything is perhaps slightly better.
What else happened on this? So it was like crazy lesbians, Adrian. I felt kind of bad for Adrian because everybody hates her. I mean, she was trying to be like, hey, chef, what's up? And he's like, hello, Adrian. Like, hello, Adrian. She's like, what's up? How's it going? How's the new people? He's like, everyone's fine and dandy. Thank you very much, Adrian. Everyone's doing fine. And wouldn't even look at her and just kept fucking his onions. Awkward.
I know. But even... I have to say, though, I did enjoy when everyone got, like, wasted around the dinner table except for Adrian. And she was, like, trying to, like, elevate the conversation by talking about the Miami Dolphins or whatever. And then I loved how Kate got all uppity. She's like, I don't know. I don't remember when yachting became such a low-class affair. I'm like, bitch, you're on a reality show. Like, just pour your
champagne.
You're
on Bravo. It's all a low-class affair.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was funny because once you've been in service, it's very hard to even hang out with idiots like that. And Kat was like, bye. Like, she didn't even wait for dinner because she was mortified because she could see the rest of the staff being disgusted. And she was too embarrassed.
Adrian,
yeah. And she was too embarrassed to stay. She was like, bye. See you later. Yeah. She jumped on a boat before dinner was even served. And I was like, amen. A, you're keeping your figure. And B, you're making yourself look slightly less stupid. And also, she probably cried on the way home because no one was nice to her.
I know. I kind of feel bad for Adrian.
Yeah. I do too. Why is that? I guess because I'm a bitch and she's a bitch. And I'm really pasty and she's really pasty. And she can see her stomach muscles. And I guess it ends at pasty. It ends at pasty. But...
Well, I mean, those guests too. I mean, they were being bawdy. I didn't think they were being that crazy, but it was. They were sort of like the Andreas of Below Deck because they're like, "You want some meat? Yeah, I'll take some meat in my mouth." Oh, he likes the meat. Yeah, you know what he likes to eat? He likes meat. I'm like, oh my god.
And then he like bends over and starts twerking with a sword up his ass. Like, that's nice. I like this the captain when he's like, "I'd rather drag my dick through 10 miles of glass than to have those people on my boat again."
Yeah. Nice. By the way, did you notice that there's someone else on the crew who's like not on the show? There was, when they all lined up at the end, there was some guy there who, I don't know if he's like, we've just never seen him before. He's just there. I don't know if he's like maybe someone like, I think last season, Captain Lee had, there were like one or two people who were like actual boating professionals who were on board too that were not on the show. And I wonder if this other guy is like that because I'd never seen him before and there he was.
Well, yeah,
like,
there's never just one captain. I mean, there's got to be, there's never one person, what do you call, driving the boat or whatever. They're steering the ship. There has to be more than him. He's got to sleep at some point.
Yeah, well, I think they anchor down at those points. But, like, I think it must be, like, an engineer or someone who works, like, someone who knows the technical aspects of, like, the engine downstairs or something.
I don't know, but there's a new guy coming next week and he's fine.
Yeah, he's really hot. I'm like, oh, I really am enjoying the casting this season.
Yeah, me too. Nice ass this season. Holler. Yeah. Okay, so real quick, if you're not watching The Singles Project, which you're not, and I understand because we made a pact that we didn't have to, but it actually is pretty hilarious as you get to know them. Our readers or listeners are right saying that you get used to it as it goes on because it does get funnier as it goes. And it's over next week. So if you're bored and you need something to watch, watch this past episode and then watch next week because it's so funny. Like the gay guy, first of all, the gay guy goes on a double date with one of the straight guys. And it's hilarious because he actually has a good date and the straight guy doesn't. And both the gay guys are orange, which I just love because it's like that's the gay guy thing now. It's like the gay guys have a different sun than everybody else that turns their face orange but keeps their neck beige. And he's like obsessed with everybody's eyebrows. Like, he's like, "You have such nice brows." And then he goes on another date. He's like, "You have such lovely eyebrows." And I'm just really so glad to have like a lovely Bravo orange little gay because he's very funny. The older Tabasum lady, they showed her under fluorescent lights. She went to her man's kitchen this week, like his house.
Oh, and no.
His home kitchen. You guys, if you have a plastic face, plastic eyelashes that are 10 feet long, a ton of makeup, a weave. If you're all fake looking and you're used to TV lighting, don't walk into fluorescence.
No.
Don't do it. I mean,
huge mistake.
Yeah, it was like walking through one of those x-ray machines at the airport, but instead of showing her bones, it just showed like the fug under there. It was not cute. Make sure you are well lit wherever you are if you're going to do shit to your face like that. And then she went, this guy's trying to bone her, and she's like, I just will only have sex with people who I'm in a monogamous relationship with. And he wouldn't obviously commit to her after two dates or whatever. And he's like, I sense some desperation. Like, you automatically want to have babies and children, and, like, I need to date for a while first. And she's like, you just called me desperate? This is over. And left him, which I loved. So it was really, really fun. I won't go on about it forever because it's just going to be a monologue. But you should watch it next week for the finale.
All right, I'll try to watch it next week
for the finales. Okay.
Sound, you're all ruffling around over there.
I am. I'm sorry. I'm readjusting. It's weird doing a whole podcast from bed.
Are you still there?
Yeah. Is it better?
You sound muffled now.
I do.
Yeah, you sound all muffled. There, you sound better now.
I do? Okay. Yeah. You sure?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry for the ruffling, everybody.
It sounds like you're rooting around in a pile of leaves.
Oh, well, I could be. I'm home. If I get in trouble, that shit'll happen. okay, so we're going to end this version now because we are done with our shows for the week, and we're going to move over to the after show. So for now, come find us on patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens to subscribe, and you'll get the bonus episode. And for those of you listening wondering where the hell your bonus episode is, go to patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. Also, come to our Facebook. It's a really fun, active page, facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens. You guys are hilarious. Today's thread was what you wanted to talk about, and we read it through the whole show and laughed our butts off, and always do. If you want to tell me to fuck off, whatever you want to do, come on there. Find Ben in the normal social media places, Ronnie in the social media places, and that's it. We'll say goodbye now. We'll see you next week. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. No need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny and I love you.